ask, but...
Thanks, Google.
Yeah, I'm expecting it. It's meant to be hotter tomorrow, and I'm fully expecting my friend to just wake up and go, the gates of hell have opened.
Yeah, there was someone drew a link between the announcement of our new Prime Minister and the fact that the Earth is...
hotter now.
Edging closer to the temperatures reached in the pit of hell, but, you know...
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, because, oh, jeez, it's not been a good day.
No, it has not, but...
But then I got to come home and watch a film, so that's not bad.
Yeah, a proper British film. So here we go. As you can tell from the title, this is, comes as no surprise to you. It's Danny Boyle. Oh, Danny Boyle. I picked that up from Mark Kermode. Only every time he says Danny Boyle, he has to sing Danny Boyle to the tune of Danny Boyle.
Right, I mean, so it would be better if you didn't.
Okay, yeah. Let's start with Danny Boyle then. I think we've both probably seen a fair few of his films, so let's just quickly run down the list. Shallow Grave, you've seen.
Yes, twice, apparently.
Yeah, we realised like halfway through. Oh, shit.
I realised when I saw the front door of the flat, and I was like, oh, I've fucking seen this before.
I realised that when the final shot came up of the film, I realised that that is the only part of the film I had previously seen and had since forgotten, so it's still quite a nice one. Okay, so Shallow Grave, we know we've seen. Trainspotting, I know you've seen that because I watched it with you.
Yeah, got the quote on my wall and everything.
Yeah. A Life Less Ordinary, I don't know what that is.
It's another Ewan McGregor one.
Okay, and then The Beach, which is the Leonardo DiCaprio one, which is... did I say on the podcast last time? That's why they fell out?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Have you seen The Beach?
Nope.
No, neither have I. 28 Days Later?
Yes.
Absolutely fantastic. Love it. Millions?
No.
I've not seen that either. Sunshine?
Maybe.
I've seen Sunshine. I don't remember a lot about it, but...
Space Station Sun.
Yeah, they're going to detonate a nuke to reactivate the sun. Is that it? Yeah, right?
Scientifically plausible.
I'm sure. Just like in The Core, when they set off, they go down to the core of the planet to set off a nuke to reactivate the core. It just seems like if you want to switch something, you know, back on, you just throw a nuke at it.
Slumdog Millionaire. That would work. I haven't actually seen it.
I'm going to guess no. Oh, Slumdog's really, really good. Very, very good. Didn't it get... I think it got best picture, and he got best director, and best adapted screenplay.
I mean, surely he got some awards for Trainspotting.
He didn't, actually, I don't think.
From a junkie.
It got like BAFTAs, I think. But
that's better than Oscars.
Critical Reception Awards, here we go. Nominated for 2 British Academy Film Awards. And John Hodge won for best adapted screenplay. Film on the Golden Space Needle. Needle. The Seattle International Film Festival.
Is that literally just a junkie film, like award show? Like, oh, you had a junkie in your film, here's an award.
Here's a needle. Well, don't give him that. Oh, he's back on the smash. Ewan McGregor was named Best Actor from the London Film Critics Circle. BAFTA Scotland Awards at Empire Magazine. Hodge was also nominated for an Academy Award for Best Adapted... I can't say that phrase. Best Adapted Screenplay, but lost to Billy Bob Thornton. So it didn't actually get BAFTAs. It's mad, isn't it? Because that's like, when you think of British films, that's one of the top ones you come out with, isn't it?
Yeah, if you think of any film that has probably like the perfect thematic soundtrack... Trainspotting's up there.
Yeah.
And that fucking The Choose Life. Oh, that fucking speech.
What an opening. Then a short called Alien Love Triangle. I've not seen it.
Nope.
127 Hours.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a very good film. I really like that.
Yeah. I was disappointed that the hand cutting wasn't more graphic.
I thought it's pretty graphic.
Yeah, but more.
It's pretty, but okay. Yeah,
I wanted James Franco to be at the award show and be like, lost my fucking hand.
I'm a method actor, don't you know? Trance, which was about
it's
a heist to do with a painting, I believe. McAvoy's in it. Vincent Cassel, who I love.
No, I feel like I should have seen it. but
yeah, we should give it a watch. Steve Jobs.
No,
I've not seen that either. T2 Trainspotting. I know you've seen that.
Yeah, that I went to the cinema. My parents were trying to convince the someone next to us that it was a documentary.
That was the fourth film I watched this year, and Yesterday, which has only just come out. So have you seen Yesterday?
No.
No, I haven't either. Sounds alright though. I'd quite like to give it a go, but
yeah. Well, I mean, I spent the first time I saw the trailer, I spent half of it going, "What do I fucking recognise that guy from?"
EastEnders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the thing is, I only said it out loud when Ed Sheeran was on the screen, so which is like, I said Sheeran. Like, fucking, I know that's Ed Sheeran.
Okay, so Daniel, so his first film, Shallow Grave. Here we are then. What's Shallow Grave all about? I'm throwing to you, fill in the gap.
It's basically about people who
dig a shallow grave.
Yeah, but the thing, it starts off, they don't even commit. Well, the thing is, I love the part where they're interviewing potential housemates.
There's quite a few recognisable people in that bit. I think there's one of the guys from the Full Monty appears in that bit, and the guy who plays Billy Elliot's dad in Billy Elliot, isn't it? And I cannot remember his name, and it is killing me, so I'm just going to quickly...
Oh, that's a Google I can hear.
Billy Elliot's dad. Gary Lewis. Yeah, he's been in loads of British stuff. He's very, very good. He's amazing with Billy Elliot.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think I just love the fact that they're just asking such weird questions, and they're all such different. It gives you a really good insight into the different characters' personalities.
Yeah.
But then also shows you that they're all still friends. For now.
But they're all dickheads. That's the thing, is you wouldn't want to live with them anyway, because they're so anarchic and strange and weird that I don't think you'd want to live there.
Yeah, but I'd rather live with Ewan McGregor in this film than in Trainspotting.
That's very true.
Because in this, he's just a bit boozy, and he lives in Scotland, so it's fine.
He does drink iron brew at one point, though, so that's all right.
Yeah, when he's hungover, because it's a hangover cure.
Yeah, so they're interviewing the people. They find Keith Allen, and they think, yeah, this guy will do. And then he dies.
Yeah, and then Ewan McGregor finds a needle, which he'll save for later use.
Along with a baby, which, you know, that might pop up again later.
You know, all he needed to find was, like, some clippers to, like, be able to, like, I should have a buzz cut.
I'll probably lose a bunch of weight, so I look more skinny.
Yeah.
Sorry if you can hear some background noise there, because there's some very loud hooligans on motorcycles, and I have to keep the window open, because if I don't, I will melt.
I'm okay with that. But yeah, I think it's, because normally in, like, you'd expect them to have committed the murder, but they just find him.
Yeah, commitments.
Well, yeah, and that, and Hugo's Keith Allen, isn't it? That's Lily Allen's dad.
And Alfie Allen's dad.
Yeah.
And you get to see his peep, which is odd.
Yeah. Which is weird, because you only see Alfie Allen's once it's detached in Game of Thrones.
crucially, he...
is dead.
Hugo, he's dead, but he has a suitcase in his room, which is full of dollar bills.
Which I think they're pound notes.
Okay. I was trying to appeal to the youth audience.
But the thing, I can't tell if they're Scottish money or fake money.
I thought they were Scottish pound notes, but I could be wrong. I probably am. I'm not very good at recognising money, because I never see any.
Nah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, so, I mean, it doesn't matter to the film. I couldn't tell.
So they agree, right, we're going to keep the money. Let's dispose of the body, hang on to the money, and everything will be fine. So they draw sticks in the woods, don't they, about who's going to cut off his hands and feet and take out his teeth to prevent anyone being able to identify him. And it's David, who's Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah, I love that they draw straws for it. That was... I mean, like, someone was going to draw the short straw.
literally.
Because they're all arguing all the way through. Like, when they're, like, in, like, I guess, home base or B&Q or something.
Yeah.
Just talking quite loudly about dismembering a body.
Yeah, they really couldn't make it more obvious about what they were doing.
Yeah. Because I think at one point David just goes, well, I'm not cutting off his feet. And it's like, mate, think about where you are. If you're going to be a serial killer...
be discreet, right? So, yeah, they chop him up. Juliet gets rid of the hands and feet. She works in the hospital, so she goes to the incinerator, just wanders through there. Okay. So... and then it's that their flat gets broken into by the two chaps who are looking for Hugo. Do you notice one of them is Peter Mullen, our friend from Tyrannosaur, and
he's Mother
Superior in Trainspotting.
Oh yeah, bit younger looking.
Well, they all are quite. I was amazed how young Ewan McGregor looked.
But the thing is, I don't think he looks that much older now.
No, not like hugely, but. But yeah, he definitely looks younger, doesn't he?
Well, that's the thing. He looks older in this than he does in episode one.
That's very true. But not episode two. And I should know, because I've seen it lots of times.
Well, I mean, you've got, I don't know, what, 7 copies to choose from?
I think it's 6, actually. I don't think we're quite at 7 yet. I'm pretty sure it's 6.
Pair of badges ordering something on Amazon.
Yes, so these two... chaps who,
they but, they break into a flat downstairs, don't they?
Yeah, I guess they don't know which. They just it's implied that they sort of find out where Hugo was. But
yeah, because there's a couple scenes of them just like interrogating other people.
That's horrendous, isn't it? They're drowning the guy in the bar. That's really horrible.
I think the freezer one would be worse. I mean, not today.
Yeah, today
but any other day.
Pop me in there, no problem.
Yeah, they'd be like, come on, get out. No, I'm staying here.
So then that brings the police round, doesn't it? And that's the point where they have the interview. And Alex says, oh no, there's only 3 of us here. But I think do you think he forgets that, like, Hugo would have been registered as living there at some point?
I don't know, because I feel like their flat share's a bit off the books. Like, this is pre spare room. It's almost pre internet, but.
It basically was. Like, it was pretty domestic internet, surely.
Yeah.
What year was this? 1994. Okay, maybe just getting into it.
But no, I think... Because I think before that, that's when David... Like, they have that... Like, Julie and Alex have that big fucking spending spree.
Yeah.
Where, somehow at the end of it, Ewan McGregor is in a dress.
Yeah, that's... that. Sort of skated over, isn't it? But you know, never mind. If he wants to wear a dress, better come wear a dress.
Yeah, I fucking sued him. Look good, yeah.
look better than I would do in a dress.
I mean, there's still time to find out before the wedding, mate.
Yeah, you've not seen my suit, so.
Oh, it's so, like that. Are you in a kilt too?
The while,
yeah, because David has his like little. Breakdown. He's like, you don't know how much this might have cost us. I'm gonna go live in the attic.
Yeah, that's really weird. I mean, he just like, right, that's it. I'm gonna live up here. Does he take the money up with him at that point?
Yeah, because it's like he's going. You're sort of like, oh, he's just gonna go hide it, and then he never comes back downstairs.
Yeah, that was very. And they start drilling the holes.
Yeah, I think the drilling the holes thing. That was the creepy bit was the holes.
Yeah,
and then. I think a bit later on, like after the police interview and stuff, there's just there's a couple of scenes of where you only see Alex and Juliet from holes in the ceiling.
Yeah, they're like.
But in between them, you see him like scuttling around like fucking Gollum.
Oh,
and like,
creepy.
It's really creepy, but I really like the shot.
Yeah.
Like it's really it. I think it really shows like where he's at that point in the film before people come up and try and take his money.
That's properly terrifying, isn't it? Anyway, so yeah, he's living up there. The Ardnuts, the gangsters, get into the flat, and Alex immediately is like, "It's in the loft! It's in the loft! It's in the loft!" And he gets smacked with a crowbar. anyway.
Yeah, once on each shin.
That was horrible, wouldn't it? You just don't know how much that would hurt. So then they go up into the attic and David just fucking launches at them and kills them both. And yeah, he goes back to the woods and starts cutting up bodies again.
Well, I think the weirdest bit for that is that, so the two tied up downstairs are just like, they hear a thump and it's just like, well, I guess that's David dead. And then like 5 minutes later, it's just like, here are the bodies.
They come flying down the ladder.
Yeah.
That is funny, that I've forgotten about that. Actually, it did make me laugh.
It's just like the look on Alex's face. He's just like, the fuck? And then they drive out to the woods. And like, Juliet and Alex look quite uncomfortable in that little van. Considering this time it's not really them pushing for it.
Yeah. Then the detectives are, they're getting ever closer. They come in for a couple of interviews, don't they? They come and speak to him again, don't they? Is that right? I remember that, right? Or have I got it mixed up?
They come in for a couple of minutes, but after Alex gets called out to, like, report on the crime scene.
Yeah, that's it. Because they dug a
shallow grave,
the bodies are discovered. And that's when, critically, Alex brings back all the newspapers which say triple murder body found, or something like that, isn't it? Triple homicide, burial ground, or something like that.
Yeah. They were like, oh, we found one. We dug a little deeper. And we found another two. It's like a bonus.
You see that? See that, Jimmy? You work hard, you get reward. the police are sort of getting ever closer with their investigation. And Juliet and David, there's that really weird bit where, like, she starts like seducing them and stuff, and then there's a really odd scene where Alex comes back from the investigation
and they're just fucking sat. Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's almost the same positions they were sat in. Because they were on the other sofa when they were interviewing candidates.
Mm.
That's where the candidates were sitting. But it's like that same sort of setup of like, come sit down. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. Don't move in, you'll have a drug overdose. And we'll steal all your money.
That is creepy, that bit. That bit properly shut. Oh, God, this is going to end well.
Yeah, what's weird is that I think over the whole film, because like the second set of murders happens like halfway through the film. And so I think at that point you're expecting like, oh, there's going to be some fucking body count in this film. But there really isn't. Mm. It then just sort of goes, but remember how they were friends at the beginning? Not anymore.
The middle of the night, Alex, realizing that he's fucked, he tries to phone the detective. But David, on the same night, plans to fuck off with the money.
Almost exactly the same time. It's like this was planned for a film.
Yeah. Is it that then when the...
That's when the fight
comes out.
Yeah, because David's angry about it.
Yeah, he's not too happy about that.
Because she's...
for some reason, covers for him. Like, I bought it. I bought the ticket. I was planning to fuck off. It wasn't her. Like, in an attempt to save her, I guess, because he knows David had gone full psycho.
Yeah. And then...
He drilled his head at this point as well, didn't he?
Yeah, that was... I think so much of, like, how good this film is comes from Chris Frackleton's slow descent into madness.
Yeah, and boy, does he go mad.
Yeah, and, like, it's just... It's really weird, because it's a really... Like, I thought it was a really good portrayal of someone just sort of almost snapping. And then
really more of a break. Like a slow severance.
Yeah, and then... Because he basically just retreats. He's like, well, I'm an attic man now.
I live here now.
But then as soon as, like, the second murder's happened, he's like, oh, fuck, I don't need to hide. I can do whatever I want and get away with it.
He is creepy as fuck. He's terrible.
Like, his story, it defines where the acts start and end in the film, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because, like, he's essentially three different characters throughout the film. Because he's... I'd say normal, but he's an accountant. he's... one guy in the first act, and then he's... you'll never find me, I've got the best hiding place in the second act. And then the third act, he's like, well, what are you going to do? I've got a drill and a hammer. I think those are psychological terms.
I think it is. I think Freud came up with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then, they start having a fight because they're like, oh shit, it's all going off. So Juliet gets punched in the face.
And then Alex is like, you shouldn't have hit her.
Yeah.
And like rugby tackles him like he's Boris Johnson, he's just seen a kid.
Or a kitten. Yeah, they put the battle to the fight sort of progresses to the kitchen and he gets him on the table. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of fights in films and they always end up in the kitchen because that's where
that's
knives
where the
are
stuff is. So yeah, and Alex gets stabbed through the shoulder and he pinned to the floor with this kitchen knife. And you think, oh no, he's going to die. Alex is going to die.
Yeah, but then you remember they haven't cast Sean Bean, so he's probably going to be fine.
So Juliet comes to the rescue and whack, stabs David right through the throat. He's he drops down, he's well dead. Drops down well dead. And Alex is like, oh my god, thank goodness you did that.
Like the look of hope in his eyes of just like, thank you.
Horrible, isn't it?
And then that realization of like,
oh,
she wants the money.
So she reaches for the knife in Alex's shoulder and you think, oh good, she's gonna pull it out. Nope. Pops it back in.
Well, she's like, she like wiggles it a little bit and then I can just hammer it in. And then he passes out and she runs away with the money.
Oh,
wow.
She
runs away with her suitcase.
Full of newspaper
cuttings. Full of newspaper cuttings about the crime that they committed. Well, they only committed one third. I mean, actually, I suppose disposing of the body is probably a crime.
Yeah. But Alex pretty much pins it all on the two of them, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, she goes and gets on her plane and...
Well, she tries to, didn't she? I thought because she was... That whole scene when she's at the airport at the desk, she's like, because she knows she's got no money. I thought she was sort of like bargaining, trying to.
Oh no! I think I thought she just went to get her plane, realizing that she'd been squarely beaten. And then, yeah, like Alex does the full, I am Ewan McGregor. This is a Danny Boyle film. Of course, I got the fucking money.
I probably run off with the money. So yeah, it's buried under the floorboard. So
because he has a nightmare. Like
I don't think that's a nightmare because there's a sequence in there where he reaches for the money in the toilet system, and I thought what he'd done was just open the bag and let all the money rot, like let the water seep in. So the whole way through, I was like, yeah, there's no money there because he's fucked up. I didn't realize he'd kept it.
Because he had a nightmare about being under the floorboards. And someone was cutting them through them with a saw. And then it was the guys that they had murdered.
Oh, God, I completely forgot about that.
So I think he was having nightmares about people finding the money.
Yeah.
More than, like, getting away with it.
Oh, it's a good film. I liked it.
It was really good.
The dialogue is very strange. Like, very, very strange. But... other than that, I thought it was great. Really liked it. I'm really glad I've seen it now as well because it's been on my list for a long time.
So yeah, well, that's what this podcast is for. It's for enabling you.
Well, to fulfil my film checklist.
Shit, I didn't even realise this is Ewan McGregor's like first major film role.
Yeah. He did prove himself with this. And then followed up with Trainspotting. They're very similar. Like, you could do a double bill of Trainspotting and Shallow Grave, and it would feel like, it would very much feel like, you know, this is definitely the same people making this.
Yeah, I mean, they feel quite similar. And they're both set in Edinburgh.
I wonder how old he was when he made Shallow Grave. I can't be able to work it out.
Oh, it was 1994, so he'd been like 26 or something. Around there.
26? Really?
Well, he was born in 71.
Okay. Yeah,
23, 24?
He's done some stuff, hasn't he? He has done some films. Like, a lot of duffers, but...
No, don't you talk about Stormbreaker like that.
Oh my god, I forgot he was in that.
I mean, not for long. He was in it for less than Mickey Rourke was.
Oh, I once heard an interview with Anthony Horowitz, and I think it was for Stormbreaker. I think it was on the Five Live Film Show, because I went back and listened to all of them. And the last question that Simon May asked him, he was like, right, so just quickly before we end, nice simple one to end on, how was working with Mickey Rourke? And the audience went, I think that's what we've got time for, I've got to go somewhere. So apparently, Mickey Rourke, not the easiest chap to work with.
I imagine that's why he's not in many films.
Yeah. He's not in 2005? Is that when Stormbreaker came out? I don't know.
Somewhere around there.
They're doing a TV show about it right now, aren't they?
Oh, really? Mm. They're doing Dark Materials as well. I'm really excited for that. That looks too good.
Those are books that I've had on in various different copies, and it's on my Kindle currently, and I've just not got around to reading them. So.
Oh, they're really good. Read them in the right order. It makes a lot more sense.
Oh, okay. What did you start with?
The third one. And then I read the second one.
I did that with the Darren Shan books. There's 12 of them, and I've started with book 12. So it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I still liked it. Then I went back and read it. So.
Shadow Grove's
really good.
Yeah, I thoroughly recommend it. Just leave it long enough to have forgotten everything we said about it, including how it ends.
That is the downside. I think you have to assume that, you know, if you're coming and listening to this, you've got to assume you've seen it, or you don't care about spoilers.
I mean, I think we skim over a lot.
Yeah.
We just make sure to really nail down what the end is. Like the way that Juliet nailed him to the floor with a knife.
I like that. Very good. I think we should end on that very strong pun. That's very, very good. What is coming up next for?
For Co-Pilots, it's Superboy and The Flash. We're talking early 90s and late 80s TV shows.
And bloody hell does it show.
I don't know what you mean.
The next co-directors is connected to Danny Boyle. Alex Garland, who's worked with Danny Boyle on several things, including
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. It's
Ex Machina.
It is really. I think you're really going to like it. I love it. It's got your mate Donal in it, your friend of mine, Oscar Isaac, off of Star Wars, and Alicia Vikander, off of Tomb Raider and other stuff.
As long as they're all people I recognise, I like it.
It's really good. I'm going to need to rewatch it, because I watched it pretty much the year it came out, actually, I think. But I loved it. And I got it for my dad for his birthday, actually. So, yeah, it's really, really, really good.
Did he love it? Because I care more about his opinion than yours.
I don't know if he ever got around to watching it, so...
Oh, well, fuck.
God, we're getting through them, aren't we? We've only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more of these. Bloody hell.
I have to talk to you 7 more times at least.
That's only one show. We do 2 shows.
That's why I said at least. Because I know there's twice that. And then when I see you in real life.
Fuck you.
Nothing fills me with fear more than seeing you in real life.
And on that...
And on that bombshell, we're not actually friends.